The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Real Life Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tomplay.
Yeah, the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. To an attorney prior to and during the question. You can't afford one, a court appoint one for you. You understand your rights?
Your crime spree was over, son. Yeah, you thought you had it licked. But Detective Overton made your sugar turn to shit.
This episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that are of a sexual nature. It should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off the internet or from some television show. The facts we're retelling you were presented to us by the victims of the crimes, or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My description of the crime scenes are what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're gonna get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And today, y'all, the name of the episode is gonna be called Rapides Burning. And you know that I'm unscripted and raw and all that good stuff, okay? I'm going to tell you how this, I came about to doing this. It's going to have to be episodes, plural, because there's so much to it. But I'm going to explain that first, why it came about, and then I'll give you some history on Rapides, and then we'll get started. So before I get started, I want to ask you to please keep calling your tips on this Barbara Blunt's case. After the episode last week, I got a lot of great response, a lot of great information. It's so important. Share it. Sharing equals tips, okay? And I want every cold case to be solved. And we need your help, especially on Barbara Blunt's. So y'all please keep doing that. And stay tuned to the end of the show, and I'll talk about LOPA a little bit. All right, so Rapides Burning. Rapides Parish was founded on March 31st in 1807. It was one of 19 parishes which were created by dividing the territory of New Orleans. Rapides Parish was named for the rapids in the Red River during the French rule and subsequent seat of government for this area at that time, the post of Rapide. Rapides in the French language is rapid, which is already pluralized, blah, 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 etc. The American government took over in 1803 and has remained ever since. The parish seat is Alexandria. Now, y'all in Louisiana, this is for all the listeners who are outside of Louisiana across the world in 120-something countries. We have parishes. We're under Napoleonic Code Law. We don't have counties. And Rapides Parish is dead center in the state of Louisiana. If Louisiana looks like a boot, and if you took a dart and you threw it and landed right in the middle of the state, that's Alexandria and Rapides, Louisiana. So geographically, that's where I'm talking about. We joke in Louisiana and say, you know, Alexandria's kind of the cutoff line for the difference between Cajun and redneck. I think Alexandria has a little bit of both. I can't say too much because these Feliciana Parish is kind of directly east of there. But it's in the center, y'all. And the 2010 census, they had 121,000 approximate residents in the parish. So it's not that big, right? And I can't call it dying parish, but there's not a lot going on there. I can tell you that as far as industry and stuff like that. But the river does run through the railroads and all that. So in 1864, during the height of the Civil War, the Union Army came in and burnt down the whole city of Alexandria, including the courthouse, which was later rebuilt and is still standing today, but they burned it down. And I think that naming this episode Rapides Burning is kind of a play on words for that. With that, we'll get started. Now, I first came to know or be involved with Rapides Parish back when I was with the state police. I had dealings with a detective there, not in a good way. But that's a story for another day. But they knew who I was, and no love for me, and that's okay. But a couple years after I retired, or a couple years back, maybe 3 years ago now, I was reached out to by Courtney Coco's mama to look at her daughter's cold case. Now, at the time, I had my private consulting business, and I was traveling a lot, and I told her, I said, you know what? I wasn't going to charge her anything. I said, I'll look at it for you. I just slept next time. And I was all the time going through Alexandria, traveling to North Louisiana, et cetera. And I said, next time I come through, you get the case file for me and make me a copy and I'll look at it. And, you know, I'll take it with me and look at it and see what we can do. But I told her, I said, you got to go to the sheriff's office and get the copy of the file. I didn't hear anything back from her. About 2 years go by, and it was last year, Miss Stephanie called me and she said, Mr. Woody, and she's the sweetest lady ever, y'all. And I just love her to death. She's like, you know, family to me now. But she said, Mr. Woody, they've never done anything with Courtney's case, her daughter, Courtney Coco's case. And, you know, I want to know, would you take a look at the case? And I said, you know what? I said, at the time, I had Real Life, Real Crime, right? And we were blowing up and everything. Up for the podcast, the year award and all that. And I said, you know what? I'll do it if you let me do it on the podcast. And she said, come on. And so went over and she told me what happened was the 2 years before she had gone into the Rapides Sheriff's Office and told them, hey, I want a copy of the case file. I'm bringing in Woody Overton. He's going to take a look at the case for me. Oh, shit. They promised her everything but the moon then. Oh, no, you want to bring an outsider in. Well, I'm not an outsider. They knew who I was. And you don't want to bring an outsider in. We'll take care of this. We'll do a task force. We'll do this and that, whatever. So they placate her. And you guess what? Rightfully so, right? You want to believe in your public officials. You want to believe that they're going to do what they say they're going to do. You want to believe that they're actually doing their damn jobs, trying to work for you, right? And but she told me 2 years gone by, nothing. And so I get there, and one of the first things we did, I mean, she had still didn't have the case file, but the family had a more complete case file ultimately than when we did get the law enforcement case file. They had a better case file. But so I had her call the detective who was supposed to be handling it for Rapides Sheriff's Office, and Ms. Stephanie recorded him. And in Louisiana, it is legal to record another person's conversation that you're having them with. It's called one party consent, that you don't have to tell them. and she recorded it. And this dude got on the phone and said, "Oh no, Miss Stephanie, we working it. We working it. Yes, indeed. And that's, oh yeah, we're working this and da da da." Y'all go back and listen to the episode, right? But they saying that they doing all this shit. And then I go to Texas and interview Detective Rabelais. First thing he says out of his mouth, he said, "What the hell are you talking about? This case is over. 2 years ago, it's an accidental overdose." I'm like, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, the two Rapides Paris detectives came through and said they were going to get whatever to run something, redo Courtney's autopsy," which is bullshit. And he said they called me 2 weeks later and said it's a overdose. Bullshit. They lied to this. Well, even if they weren't lying to the detective, motherfucker was lying to the to Miss Stephanie on the phone that day. Got him on tape doing it, and then of course they passed the buck. Y'all listen to the series, and then we go through. And there's so much in the series that I can't tell you now because I didn't want to do anything to jeopardize the investigation, and I'm still not going to. But once the arrests are made and once the case is adjudicated, I'm gonna tell everything. But it got to the point in the case where, yes, I turned it back over to APD with good intentions and worked with them right up to the point where they said they wanted to take it to the district attorney. And I said, "Don't, you don't need a district attorney. You got way more than probable cause to make this arrest. You make the arrest, these assholes are gonna flip on each other like pancakes. And on top of that, after you make the arrest, there's a bunch of witnesses, y'all, in this case now. But you're going to get witnesses that have come out of the woodworks because murderers are behind bars and they feel safe." But no, took it to the DA. That's when I burned the bridges and I did the episode and I just laid out suspect one, suspect two. Episode wasn't out 45 minutes. Miss Stephanie called me and asked me to pull it because APD called. Not because I'd done anything wrong, because they knew their ass was going to be in a crack, because there's no way I could have all that information if I hadn't been working with them, right? So I pulled it, and out of respect for Courtney's mama. And then the district attorney, Philip Terrell, brings the family in the beginning of November, tells them absolutely spot on, yes, he's going to take it to a grand jury, he's going to get arrest, and blah, 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 give him a couple weeks. Boom. A couple weeks go by. Then December goes by. Then January goes by. Then February comes up. And now, don't think Miss Stephanie's just sitting there twiddling her thumbs. She's calling Philip Terrell all through this time. Your district attorney, Philip Terrell, y'all, for who don't know, Philip Terrell is the district attorney for Rapides Parish. They're in charge of prosecuting all crimes. The DA is not returning her calls. So what do? We march. Peacefully demonstrated. We didn't tear shit down and blow shit up like they do in everywhere else. But we marched, and anyway, y'all know the rest of it, okay? So fast forward. Oh, I'll tell you what. We got permission from Miss Stephen to release that episode on about Suspect 1 and Suspect 2 because of the delays. Now, there have been significant developments in Courtney Coco's case since then, and I keep getting put off, and I can't tell you how I know without damaging the case, so I'm just not going to do it. But so I asked you to back off APD in the DA's office because it wasn't going to do any good. They were waiting because of COVID or whatever it was at first, and then it was whatever, and then a week goes by, and then another week goes by. And then another week goes by, and then another week goes by, and shit, every Friday I'm pissed off, and every Friday I'm pissed off. And guess what? If you think I'm pissed, how do you think the family feels? How do you think Courtney's mama feels? And her aunts and her grandmother, and those ladies roll tight, okay? And what happens to one happens to all of them. And then you got all these lifers involved now who lifers solved this case. People put their lives in jeopardy to come forward and give information, et cetera. Everybody's still waiting on justice for Courtney, right? Every Friday, wearing the pink, rocking it. This Friday, I get a message about another delay in Coco's case. And I can't tell you what it is, but if I told you, you'd probably go down there and riot and burn that fucking courthouse down again. But it pissed me off so bad, but I'm in a jam here, right? What can you do? What can I do? And I the excuse is so lame. It is such an obvious attempt, not from the person that's handling it, but I can't explain it, but it's such an obvious attempt at a delay for whatever reason. Maybe it's because elections coming up in November. I don't know. But it just really just, it pissed me off. And I'm not very nice when I get mad. And it takes a whole lot to send me over the edge. And so I have OCD, but my OCD is not being able to stop thinking about things. And that's made me an advantage in my career on solving cases, right? And so I do my best thinking 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm laying there and I was so pissed off. I kept thinking about Courtney and thinking about it. And I said, you know what? What can I do? What can I do without hurting Courtney's case that can bring some light down on what the hell is going on? You know, we got to do something. Okay, people, you don't have to just take it laying down. You can always fight another way. And so it hit me. I started thinking about all these cases from day one. When we dropped the first Courtney Coco episode, we interviewed, I think, Ms. Stephanie by phone, and she was crying and everything. From day one, I've been getting messages about cases in Rapides Parish, murders, rapes, police corruption, DA corruption, from lifers. And it got to the point that was so overwhelming, the cases coming in, I was like, shit, I was just sending them to my, you know, private message box, and I look at them when I can, right? At the time, when they first started flooding in, I was still boots on the ground working Courtney's case. And then time goes by, and they're still coming in. And I said, you know what? Fuck it. This story needs to be told. And we need to shine the light, to burn it down. Somebody needs to put all this together and try to tell the story and paint this picture. If you take just the injustice in Courtney Coco's case, that's bad enough. And but you take it and you add up all the cases that I've been given by lifers, shit, it's a whole bunch, y'all. And I'm sitting here looking at one of two folders. This one folder, and the Patreon members are watching this on video. It's one of the perks they get for being Patreon members. They get to watch me record live, and this is Wednesday night. Each one of these pages in this big-ass binder is a homicide. It is a bad case. And there's no way I can tell them all. Now, I started thinking, I said, I got to tell the story, but how can I tell it? How can you tell it, Woody, and make it where we need to get national media attention brought down on Rapides, okay? Philip Terrell is the king of the fucking one-liners when KLB or whoever it is ask him about a case and guy gets out and he's got 160-some counts of child porn. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
My allergies are throwing my whole morning off. Do I sound different to you?
I love it. You sound like, it's that time of year though, bro.
I sound different to me. I feel like I'm in a submarine.
Yeah, well, have you tried Astapro? It's faster, bro.
Oh.
Right? Astapro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Hey, I use this, and you should too, Jim. Last weekend, I planted my garden, and it's that time of the year, and my allergies really kicked up with it, right? I use Astapro every time my nasal allergies flare up, and I'm always amazed at how fast I'm back in the game, down on those roads, playing my stuff.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. AstaproAllergy.com. It's faster, bro. Uses directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Astapro and go.
It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara. Born, and they ask him, oh, why'd you plead it down to one count or whatever? And he says, his response is, oh, I'll have to get with such and such and check on that. Never hear anything else about it, right? So how can all this be told? Saturday morning when I got up, didn't sleep much, I put out a post to the lifers. I said, you know what? I'm pissed. I'm tired as shit. And I know the wheels of justice turn slowly. And if I could burn it down nuclear the way I want to without hurting Courtney's case, then I would, but I can't. I said, but I told the lifers, I said, send me every single case that y'all sent me. Send it to me again. Everything. And we're going to compile that bitch, and I'm going to tell a story. And that's what I'm about to do. Okay? And the response has been so overwhelming since last Saturday to today. I say last Saturday. Shit, it's Wednesday. Today, I think we added 2,000 new crew members on the page. And that's important, because when national media comes and look, they can say, oh shit, they got 20 some thousand people here. You know, this, it's a legitimate deal. Plus, when we do a call to action, every single member we have is another member we can use to bring justice on all of this, on Rapides burning. So now, to tell this story, and I've been thinking about it, to tell it correctly, I think I need to do it in three parts. Now check this out. Obviously, I'm going to talk about every single murder victim that's in this book, okay? Now, I can't get them all done today. There's no way. So it's going to have to be a series. But I'm going to talk about them. I'm going to start one today, and then I'll finish it whenever. Maybe I'll finish that. I don't know. I'll finish it when I finish it on the murders. But guess what? No victim in here. If you're a lifer and you sent your family's information, your loved one, or your friends, whoever it was, it's a victim of the crime, of the murder, or whatever it was, you sent it, I'm going to tell the damn story, okay? They're going to get highlighted. And I bet you some of these people have never had their names spoken out loud since they were buried in the ground. But not by any law enforcement or district attorney, I can promise you that. I'm going to do it. So there is not a order of importance on the victim. No one victim is more important than any other, okay? All of them have mamas and daddies and grandparents or had. And some of them had kids or brothers and sisters. Each one of them was a human being, y'all. Hey, this is real life. These are real people. They got killed, murdered, and then later on I'll get into the rapes and stuff like that. This is serious shit, man. What if it was your people? Look at your significant other next to you and think if somebody snatched him up or her up and murdered them brutally and you never got justice for it, ever. It's unacceptable, man. In looking at the volume of this, and this is just, I didn't go on Rapides cold case website looking for information. This is shit that was sent to me by lifers. So I know I'm skipping around, bear with me. How I'm going to present this is, I'm going to go through the victims first, okay? Then the next major thing will be, I have a file that is bigger than this one. Patreon members, you see this, right? We got a file that's still being compiled bigger than this one on political corruption that are sent in by lifers. I'm talking about cops. I'm talking about district attorneys. I'm talking about judges. I'm talking about every swinging Tom and Dick that ever did something wrong in Rapides Parish. Now, look, I'm not investigating these. I am telling a story. I'm relaying information that is told by lifers. And a lot of this is backed up by news articles, et cetera. So the second part will be the corruption, or alleged corruption, we'll say. All right. Well, I guarantee you, when that shit comes out, people are going to have some answers to answer for. And the final thing I'm going to do, which is so important, I have an insider who worked for the district attorney's office as an assistant district attorney for numerous years, who I'm going to go in the field and I'm going to interview him on the last episode of Rapides Burning. And he has documents and he has personal firsthand knowledge of bad shit. And when you hear who he is, you'll understand. So three parts: victims, acknowledging every one of them. Secondly, addressing your concerns, lifers. I don't give a shit, but I'm not, certainly everybody in Rapides is not bad. Certainly every judge and ADA and cop, that's not what I'm saying, y'all. But I'm saying there's a systemic problem. If you look at the totality of circumstances, there is a systemic problem running in Rapides Parish. And I'm going to burn that bitch down or burn them out. Okay. So y'all know, again, I don't like to use notes, et cetera, but on this, I have to because of the sheer volume of it. So you're going to hear some pages turning. Toby Tom Play, I'm going to ask that you not edit anything other than maybe take out some lip smacks or ums. Do not change a word of what I say, because I mean what I say what I mean and I mean what I say. And that's the way it's going to be. All right, now look, I want the first victim I want to talk about is a name that I came across many times during Courtney's case. And her name, and I hope I don't butcher it, y'all, is Shamika Lena, L-E-N-E-A, Garnett. All right? Now, the body of Shamika Garnett was located near a drainage ditch off of Old Boyce Road. Miss Garnett was 20 years old at the time of her death. She was last seen leaving her home on Friday night, August the 13th of 2004 at approximately 11:30 p.m. in a friend's vehicle. The vehicle was later located abandoned at the on-ramp to I-49 at Lee Street in Alexandria. All right, now let me tell you what I know about this. There's a lot more to it, okay? Guess who, and I'm looking at her face right now, guess who was a near and dear friend of Shamika Garnett? Courtney Megan Coco. And not only did the family tell me this, but y'all, this is kind of, they ran together, okay? They were really good friends. I'm not talking about a casual, how you doing in the store type friend. I'm talking about running together friends. And guess what? She was murdered, where she was last seen on August the 13th, 2004. Courtney was murdered on October 4th, 2004. Not even talking 3 weeks, y'all. Not even 3 weeks. Two girls, good friends. And if you think I'm bullshitting you about the good friends part, let me tell you a little inside piece that I know. When Courtney's car was recovered in Texas, in Houston, and they processed it for evidence, one of the items found in the trunk, and y'all, Courtney's family, I apologize if you haven't heard this again. One of the items that are found in the trunk of the car where we know Courtney's body was placed after she was murdered and she was transported in, underneath her body was Shamika Garnett's obituary, which had been clipped out of the local newspaper, is in the trunk of the car. And it had to be underneath Courtney's body, right? Let that sink in. Where's the answers, y'all, for Shamika? who's doing something about it. Next. I want to tell this one because it's I do not believe there's any such thing as a coincidence in homicide cases, okay? I'll tell you that from years of doing them. The next one I want to talk about is, I guess it's Teresa, middle name Wren, W-R-E-N, last name Gilcrease, G-I-L-C-R-E-A-S-E. Naturally, it's another cold case out of Rapides. All right. Now, this was sent in by a lifer also, and I can't read everything that he put, but I'm going to read some of it. But this is a clip of an article from the Town Talk, which is like the Alexandria newspaper. It says it's been 13 years since the body of Teresa Wren Gilcrease was found on a road near Louisiana State University of Alexandria, stabbed at least five times and run over by a vehicle, and her family still waits for justice. Gilcrease, who was living in Oregon with her husband, had come to Alexandria for her daughter's high school graduation. An autopsy showed that she died from a combination of her wounds. Her father, Elvin Wren Boyce, said he's hopeful that someone eventually will be arrested for his daughter's murder, but he's not expecting it. Not after 13 years, he said. I don't think so. He harbors a lot of anger about the way her case has been handled, he said. He said he last talked to Rapides Parish Sheriff's detectives about a possible suspect of about 2 years ago. Kind of sound familiar on Coco's case? But he hasn't heard anything new about the case since. Gilcrease's sister, Ginger Jones of Alexandria, is more blunt. She believes the suspect interviewed in the year after her sister's murder is responsible and described a strained relationship between her family and some of the investigators. The case remains active, said Lieutenant Tommy Carnline, the office public affairs officer, who released a statement from Sheriff William Earl Hilton, the name you're going to hear a lot, y'all, in this series, Rapides Burning. Hilton says, "We work all cold cases the same way. When we get any new leads, we follow them," said Hilton in his statement. "Having been a detective for most of my career, it becomes personal when you can't solve a case, especially a homicide. As a detective, solving cases is what we strive to do each and every day. We hope one day to give the Gilcrease family, the Coco family, and the family of Shamika Garnett and any other cold case we have the closure they deserve and to put the person in prison for what they did." I'm throwing the bullshit flag on that one. All right. What's been done? And y'all, William Earl is no longer the sheriff would have been passed. The new sheriff would have been sworn in. But this is the same kind of bullshit line the detective was running on Miss Stephanie when we had him on the phone. "Oh, we're working it all the time. Yeah, we've been working it for these past 2 years, and we told you we were going to work it. You didn't need to bring in anybody, et cetera, et cetera." And guess what? Bullshit. Go to Texas, find out they've already ruled it, whatever. I'd love to know what they've ruled Teresa Wren Gilcrease's and Shamika's case. Now, the bad part of this is, and now, well, let me a little bit. See if I need to read any more of this. Back on the Gilcrease's, it says a sketch of the man was released after Gilcrease's body was found and suspects were questioned, but no arrest had been made. Coco case all over again. Gilcrease's case was the first recently to be featured by Crime Stoppers, blah, 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 whatever. And so they said, "We're going to convince somebody somewhere knows something." Yeah, no shit. All right, now, the one of the lifers that sent this in, he sent in these personal notes, and I had this from like numerous people. I am not going to say a name because I cannot verify it, but I'm gonna read an excerpt from this, and this guy swears it's the truth, and he swears he got it from the horse's mouth, but it is what it is. Teresa Wren Gilchrist, according to the Rapides Parish Sheriff's Office Major of Detectives at the time of death, the prime suspect was the nephew of Sheriff William Earl Hilton. I'm not going to say his name, y'all. They also says he allegedly was a state trooper. I'm trying to edit this out. Under the supervision, his name is blank. He was a state trooper under the supervision of my brother-in-law at the time of the murder. The RPSO major told me personally that, in his opinion, any district attorney's office in the nation would have prosecuted him except Rapides. When the major pursued the case, he said from that point on, he was kicked out of the good old boy clique. This is not a rumor. It was told to me by the major himself, who was my best friend. The major was a man of honor and integrity, unlike some who think they're above the law. God will tend to all of this one day. Now, I'm going to leave the rest of his statements out. This guy's obviously is pissed off, and he's saying that his best friend was the head of the detectives for the Rapides Parish Sheriff's Office, and this case should have been prosecuted, and it wasn't. And he's saying that it was the sheriff's nephew. I don't know that. I'm saying what he's saying. So thank you for that information. I want to talk about another one. And I'm flipping through all these pages because it's so much. But this one kind of, shit, man, it kind of disturbs me in a way. This is the case. It's two homicides in one case. All right, y'all, the next one I'm going to tell you about is the case of the homicide of Rebecca Ann Miller and Roderick Collins. Their bodies were found badly decomposed off of Sugar House Road in Alexandria, Louisiana, on December 20th, 2002. Their bodies had been out there for 6 weeks. It took three autopsies and an anthropologist to find the cause of death. My mama, and remember, y'all, this is sent in by a lifer, Rebecca Miller, was stabbed 67 times so viciously she had indentations on her bones. Rebecca had just gotten out on bail from jail, I guess it's October 1, on October 30th, 31st. This was the last time anyone saw her. Mr. Roger Collins was last seen leaving from the Paragon Casino on November 1, and he didn't show up to work the next day. Mr. Collins' vehicle was found burned to the frame a month prior to their bodies being found off of...
Hey, y'all. My wife's biggest struggle this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause. Hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hudson Boulevard in Alexandria, only like a mile away from my mom and Mr. Roderick's bodies were found. But for some reason, nobody, no one in law enforcement or in this town knows anything about what happened and just forgot about my mom and Mr. Collins. APD, that's Alexandria PD, Police Department. APD won't even acknowledge me or my mom's case, let alone speak with me or my family. My mom's killer could literally be anyone, exclamation mark, and that's crazy. What do you say about that, Al? I'm going to tell you something. 67 stab wounds that you can count after 6 weeks. Stab wounds that are so hard, basically when they say indentions on the bones, that means they're chipping the bones. 67. In all of my career, I think the highest I ever had on one of my best cases was 50-something. 67, you're stabbing so hard that you're chipping bones, okay? And they're found together. Vehicles found burned. Family can't get anybody. Now, this, remember, this is the family telling me this. I don't know anything. I don't know these people. I don't know who they are other than this lady's a lifer. This is her mama. And poor Mr. Roderick's family, I'm sure they may have reached out to us too. I think I actually have another one for him in the back of this book. But that's two more, y'all. You got to have something. Yeah, I mean, he left the casino. They got cameras at the casino. I know that. She just got out of jail for whatever reason, got out on bail probably the same night. I don't know, man. Fuck. Do your job. At least, you know what? I never... Knock on wood, I didn't have one of them saw, but I damn sure if I did, they'd be my best friends because I would never not take their call. Shame on you. Whoever's handling this fucking case, shame on you for not taking this family's calls and at least, even if you lie to them like the detective lied to Miss Stephanie, they'd lie to them. At least try to placate them. Do your job. It's fucking ridiculous. All right. I'm going to go back. It's crazy. All right. Here's another one for you. Check this out. Del Rico L. Anderson. Homicide from 2006. All right. The cold case summary is Del Rico Lamont Anderson was 23. Was murdered on March 13th, 2006 in an early morning drive-by shooting on Highway 1 just outside of Alexandria, Louisiana. Del Rico was born in Inkster, Michigan and lived in Alexandria about 6 years. He worked at various restaurants in the area. He is survived by daughter Laisha, his father Benny, 8 sisters, 7 brothers. He's buried at such and such. Crime scene. Del Rico and passengers, Royce Real Taylor, 25 years old, and Christopher Allen Thomas, 19, were returning in his 1982 Oldsmobile Cutlass after a night of clubbing in the Bulls Parish at Secrets and Mansuras and Jackie's Lounge in Marksville. At around 4:30 a.m., a light model silver gray Chevrolet Lumina pulled alongside their vehicle and opened fire at least 4 times with an AK-47. Taylor and Thomas were not injured. However, Del Rico died en route to the Rapides Regional Medical Center. After speaking with witnesses, investigators believe he may have known the person that fatally shot him. That's it. What the fuck? Who's working a case, y'all? Del Rico L. Anderson is a human being, too. And all of these lies matter. I hadn't told y'all any races or anything, if they were white or black, because that shit doesn't matter to me. But listen to how many brothers and sisters he has. You think, I guarantee you a lot of them are still alive. And I'm not beginning to touch the tip of the iceberg, people. I'm just flipping through, hitting some that are just jumping out at me. And, I think it's crazy. Why haven't these cases been followed up on? Somebody needs to do something, okay? And I've got a bunch more. And I'm going to do one more. I don't know what the hell's going on in Rapides Parish. The Del Rico case, whether it's in Alexander PD limits, I don't know. But it certainly is within the Sheriff's Office jurisdiction. What's up, Rapides Sheriff's Office, for Del Rico Lamont Anderson? And if nobody else is going to ask, I'll ask. Now, this next one is a little bit puzzling to me, and I'm going to end it on this one. It's puzzling to me, okay? And I know this is a more recent case, and it's of a young man named Bucky Tarver. Now, Bucky Tarver's not from Rapides Parish, okay? That's the kicker. He's from Mavoyles Parish, which is the next parish over. But check this out. He's not from there. And I talked to his family member for, like, I don't know, 45 minutes this weekend. She was a real sweetheart. And about what happened. And she told me that, just a bunch of strange shit. And if it's true, it's just horrible. I'm not saying you're lying, sweetie. I'm just saying if your facts are straight, it's horrible. And so solvable, right? That, well, I don't want to do anything to mess up that investigation, so I'll leave it alone. But here's the kicker. The kicker of it is, now get this, Avoyelles Parish. It's the next parish over from Rapides. Bucky Tarver went missing. I'm going to read this to you. He went missing from Avoyelles Parish. Okay? He lived in Avoyelles Parish. But check this out. The Rapides Parish Sheriff's Office is asking the public to help find a man missing since March the 30th. And y'all, that would have been, I guess this year. Yeah, March the 30th. Timothy Clay Bucky Tarver Jr. He's 33 years old. He was last seen in Center Point Colon community around noon on March the 30th. If anyone has seen Tarver or has information about him, call local law enforcement, the sheriff's office at 318-473-6700 or Detective Rick Lofton at 318-483-1837. Okay. Bucky's never been found. Word on the streets is that he's cut up and put in crawfish ponds, right? And there's a whole bunch more to that, and I'm not going to get into that. But if y'all know something about it, call in. But this is why I'm including Bucky on Rapides Burning. What in the hell is Rapides Parish doing working a Vols case? He went missing from Vols. He lived in a Vols. By all accounts, from what I was told, the crime occurred in a Vols. But this family member was told in no uncertain terms by this detective from Rapides Parish Sheriff's Office that the detective or deputy, whatever, from the Bulls that was handling the case was no longer with the department, and the family had any questions, they were to go through him. Why? It's not your parish. Shit, you got D'Amico Anderson, you got Courtney Coco, you got Shamika, you got Teresa Gilcrease, you got everybody else that I mentioned, and so many more. But certainly I wanted to find Bucky. Y'all, somebody, this is still a pretty fresh case, and I certainly hope you can get it. But why is Rapides Parish working that? Bama doesn't know. I don't know. You know, I don't know, people. I don't understand how in the hell you can go and act with impunity, whether it's in law enforcement or a district attorney's office or whatever, and act and lie to people. Or Willie Graves would have murdered me when I was at the sheriff's office if I didn't call a victim's family back. Okay? How do you not talk to these people? You just say, fuck it, I'm not taking the calls anymore. They're going to go away. And guess what? It works for a little while. It worked on Miss Stephanie for a little while in Courtney's case, right? It worked on many, many years. She believed in the system. She believed in that they were going to do what's right. And then called me in, and then it worked. They talked her down again, and it worked for two more years. Called it in, did the case. November, it works again. Then it gets to February and shit, here we are. And again, I'm starting this. And one day, I promise you to tell you the reason that I got, the excuse that I got, that Courtney's case was now being delayed. And it is the dumbest, delay tactic, stall thing that I've ever heard. And that's what pissed me off. And that's what's going to make me now go through and call y'all out on every single homicide case. I'm going to call you out on every single thing that a lifer sends me. I'm not getting this shit off the internet. Oh, y'all, any of the articles I read, if I didn't mention it, it's like the Daily Talk or quotes from KALB. I don't know if I'm getting kind of copyright bullshit on me. But this was sent in by lifers who are hurting. And it's so many more. It's ridiculous. It's so many more, y'all. It's so many more. But I'm going to do it. I'm gonna keep doing it. I'm going to wrap up for today. But I'm going to get this. I'm gonna go through more victims next week. And maybe I'll get through them all, right? Because I won't have to tell the whole pre-story and all that. But maybe I can just roll through it. We'll get through the victims. You better hold on to your horses because sugar is going to turn to shit, because then I got a file of complaints against officials that are from real people who put their name on the shit, okay? And it's serious. And you take those complaints, and I mean, it's just so many that I don't see there's any way that lifers don't get pissed off. I'm talking about everybody else that doesn't know it already. We don't get pissed off, and then we get a plan together and force some kind of action. We make them do something. And then the last interview, I'm going to bring in an insider who has the juice, is what I used to call it when I get a confession in a case, is I was going for the juice. This man's got the juice, and he's got the reputation and the career to back it up. And so that's going to be the last episode of Rapides Burning. So if I get Rapides, you're on notice. I'm coming. I would be scrambling if I was y'all to try to contact some of these other victims' families before I get to them next week. And when the news shows up, you can be like, oh yeah, certainly. We've been talking to them. You know, whatever. I don't understand it. But pissed off. And I'm not even from there, man. Shit, I'm glad this is not. I actually live in two parishes, Livingston and now East Feliciana. And I'm so damn glad it's not my backyard. And I feel for y'all that live in Rapides. I don't know how the hell you've been putting up with it this long. But I can tell you something. There's a district attorney's election coming, and you have the right to vote. So you're right. You have the right for your voices to be heard. Yes, I am looking at the patrons, some stuff while it's coming up. We are going to bring the media. We are going to bring the power and the numbers on the Lifers crew and all our other social media. When we get done telling a story, we're going to present it in such a way that it has to be a story. That the Jefferson Davis 8 can get all of the, and I worked on that when I was with the state police, but that can get all the media. Then why can't all of these victims get media? Hell, you talking about Shamika and Coco were killed 3 weeks apart. And I think Gilchrist was just shortly after that, just a couple weeks after that. I mean, this is a time frame. There's a story here. I can't tell it all. I don't know it all, and I don't proclaim to know it all. And I'm certainly not saying everybody's bad, but I'm saying some of you bitches are bad. And Rapides Burning. So before I close, y'all, it's just so much more I could say, and we'll get into it next week, and we're going to keep going. That it's just the tip of the iceberg. I'm going to acknowledge each of the victims. Then we're going to get into the allegations of public corruption or just shitty work, and then we're going to bring it home with that interview, and then we're going to blow it up. And by then, I hope COVID will clear us to come to Alexandria and have a peaceful demonstration. And the news media, and get these cases the coverage they deserve, and maybe the family members and everything, but we'll work on that. But real quick, I want to talk about LOPA, the Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. Y'all, you heard Toby Tom play last week. I couldn't even get in the studio when I was out working Miss Barber's case. Talk about his friend's daughter who just died, and her organs went, and they got a letter, at least a letter from the iBank or whatever, but hey, man, people are dying out there, and they need organs. And it's not like everybody that signs up to be an organ donor's organs get used. It's a very selective process. A lot of restrictions they have to follow. I mean, it's just so much that goes into it. And I don't proclaim to be an expert, but I proclaim to care about it. Be an organ donor, lifers. Go to LOPA. at lopa.org, and I will put it in the show notes, lopa.org, and do the one for Livingston Parish Literacy and Technology Center, criminal justice students, and there's also one now for Real Life, Real Crime, how you heard about them. We also thank you for those who donated. We raised $250 this past week for LOPA. We actually sent it electronically, but we did a check, blacked out the account number to put it on social media. So you, be a hero, man. Check that box. You don't care what they do with your organs. Shit, you'll be dead. You know. And then, so save a life. Be a hero. Save a life. And I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
Get ready, you're gonna do time. Real life, real crime.
Real Life, Real Crime is a true crime podcast brought to you by Woody Overton and executive producer Toby Tomplay.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.